We love being with you, and it's a blessing to us. And I'm a learner all the time myself. You must realize that. You never leave the school of Christ. I think I entered the school of Christ in a kind of conscious way when I was around about 11 or 12 at first, and had some years of real struggle through my teenage years. And then I really entered more deeply into the school of Christ when I was baptized in water. And it was, I think I must have been about 19 or 20, I'm not quite sure. And a man preached the message, the man who baptized me. His name is Roger Forster, a very big name in the UK at that time. And he was a brilliant man. Some of you read Austin Sparks. Some of you have read Austin Sparks' writings. Well, Roger sat under Austin Sparks and actually took over Austin Sparks' church. And then he passed into the things of the... He baptized me, and he preached on the story of Joshua going into the land of promise when Jesus, of course it was Jesus, a pre-incarnational appearance of Jesus, stood in front of him with a sword and stopped Joshua going in. And Joshua said, "Well, who are you? You know, are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And this wonderful being said, "Neither." Didn't quite put it that way. He said, "No, but as captain of the Lord's host am I come." Said simply, Joshua thought he was boss. And he came in for a rude awakening. "No, I am. That's what the Lord said. I'm captain. I'm captain." And so Joshua fell on his feet. Fell on his face. And he said, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And Roger spoke on that phrase, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And it was prophetic for me, because I kind of knew. Roger didn't know that I can never remember a moment in my life when I was not conscious of a verse. I can never remember a time from when I was a little child where I was not conscious of a verse that's in the Bible. "You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Can anybody tell me where that verse is? 1 Corinthians. You can turn to it if you want. And it's, let's have a look at it. And verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. So when Roger prophesied, well, preached, he didn't know this verse had been in my heart since I was an infant. Sounds a strange thing to think that a little infant can grow up and has a sort of an awareness that he's not his own, that he belongs to someone else. And Roger preached at my baptism, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" So he took up this word servant. And he didn't know this verse was in my heart. Verse 20, "You were were bought with a price. So we read from verse 19 first. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. We've had some worshipful songs today. Quiet, worshipful songs. And I was thinking of a song. I almost asked for it. I stand here in the presence of the Lord God of hosts. You know that one? I know you do know it. A child of the Father and an heir of his grace. Just I stand here in the presence. Now these things are true for you. These things, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The essence of sin is stealing yourself from God and doing your thing, whether it is a Christian thing, whether it is a political thing, whether it is a family thing, whether it is a business thing, whether it is a farming thing, it is doing your thing. That's the essence of sin. Your spirit and your body are God's. That is why you cannot decide to choose your sexuality. You have to accept the sexuality that God gave you. If you're female and you see the essence of the sin that's going on today in public places is where people think they have the right to switch their sexuality, which actually is an impossibility. Usurping God and saying, no, my body is mine. I can do what I like with it. If I feel female, then I will have the surgery, blah, blah. And, oh, the pride of man. You are not your own. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. And one of the things that's wrong in the Christianity of today is its light. Christianity light. L-I-T-E. It's all about going to heaven and believing in Jesus, and there's some big surprises ahead. Some of you come from Roman Catholic backgrounds. You will see some priests and popes there with God forever and ever. You will find some nuns, because within the parameters of their belief system, within the limitations of their understanding, they knew that they were bought with a price, and they glorified God in their body and their spirit. And you will find some evangelical leaders and charismatic leaders who will not be there because they did their own thing Christian-wise. And they did not glorify God in their body and their spirit, which are God's. Serious, isn't it, when you contemplate that? It's very serious. So let's bring it down to you and me. because some of us have known one another for nearly 40 years now. Tom tells me it was 1981 that I first came to Mineota. And some of you were there. We were all young. And now we are old. No, we're not. We're older. You shouldn't say you're old. We are older. The big question is, are we wiser? But anyway, what have we done with 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? Have we glorified God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's? Now, I happened to... I've always liked Denzel Washington's face. You all know who he is. You know, there is a certain gentleness in that man, and except when he is, it's in his face. But also, now I had no idea that he had some Christian leanings, which makes me wonder why he stars in some of these movies where they're busy killing one another all the time. But anyway. And anyway, that's his business. But I happened on a bit on YouTube. It was a link. I think it was sent to me by Todd. I don't remember. And so I don't usually do this. I clicked on. I thought, well, Todd sent something. He's usually sending something useful. And so I clicked on. And Denzel Washington is speaking in a university. And he's saying, put God first. Put God first. He keeps on saying, put God first. And he's telling all these students with their mortarboards on, I guess it's, they're all graduating, and put God first. I haven't always put God first. But my mother, he said, is in a beauty, she had a beauty parlor, and I used to sit there, and there was some black lady in the beauty parlor when I was a little boy, and she looked at me and kept on looking at me and kept on looking at me, and I was sitting there as a little boy, and she turned to me and she said to me, put God first. You are going to travel the world and you're going to do some good in the world. You're going to speak to people. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? And he said, I haven't always done it. I haven't always done it. So he's looking back. I guess the guy must be 60 at least. Is he? Denzel Washington? He must be up there in that sort of age. And he's looking back. I haven't always done it. I haven't always done it. You see, when you're young, you begin away. So there are those of you who are younger here. You're going to college. There's children here. And you know that you had to get in your vehicles, your cars, and you took away to come here. Life is a way. Life is a pathway. So, you families with children, do you mothers sit and read books that are edifying and good with your children from when they're 1 or 2 years old? Have you mothers done that? Have you fathers done that? Number one book to read, Pilgrim's Progress. Read it to your children. Pilgrim's Progress, that's English. Pilgrim's Progress is American. Is that right? Do you read the books? Grandmother, read the books. The kids are reading a bunch of garbage. Get it out of your house. My wife was brought a book by the 9-year-old grandchild. She read two lines of it, and she said to Madeline, This is rubbish. Throw it away. I'm not reading it. This is important. Desperately important. You young mothers, are you biblical? Are you biblical? Are you being true to what the apostles of God said? Young women, go to the older women who've raised their children, who've made their mistakes, and get some counsel. And that lays something on you older women. That lays something very big on you older ladies. Because you made mistakes, and some of you have got kids that are wild and have made wrong marriages and are messed up big time. And sometimes you're tempted to blame the fact that you allowed things into your house that you never should have done. And you allowed things to go on. Now don't blame yourself, because ultimately you are not responsible. Ultimately, everyone makes their own choices. But we have the great privilege of guiding our children in the way. We do not have the power to control them whether they take the way in years to come. Now, you all know that in the book of Acts, perhaps you don't know this, that one of the things that the Christian faith was called in the early days was the way. Three letters in English, the way. And apparently, when we meet the Apostle Paul, I'll turn you to this in Acts 9. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was the persecutor Paul. And he was following the Jewish way. He was following the religious way. And he was so inflamed as he followed religion, he found that Jesus conflicted with religion. And he was so inflamed about it. So in Acts chapter 9, it says about him, this is, then Saul, breathing threats and murder. Now, whenever I see a great big truck spewing out smoke out of its, what do you call them, exhausts, we call them in England, you know? We followed a truck, didn't we, the other day? And this truck coming down from Duluth, and every time he put his foot down, it was spewing out all of this filth, you know. Obviously, the motor needs some ministry. But but the thing was, every time I see a truck like that or a car, it reminds me of this scripture. Breathing out. And Saul at this point was breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Wonderful when you think the transformatory power of the Lord, because what did he breathe out a few years later when he wrote a letter to the Corinthians? You know, he wrote one of the most beautiful sets of words that have ever been written. We know it as 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it came right out of his heart. That's what the Lord Jesus can do in you and me. You know, change a man. He's breathing out threats and murder against the Lord. And now he finished his life breathing out salvation, breathing out love, breathing out goodness. Wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. You just rejoice then. But here, at this point, he's breathing out. So he goes to the high priest at the end of verse 1 and asks letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. If he found any of the way. The way. And this stuck with him till the end of his life. Because when he gives his testimony in chapter 22 and chapter 26 of the book of Acts before Kings, he says, I persecuted those who were of the way. Now that tells you something straight away, that if you really walk the way, you're going to suffer. If you really walk the way, the Jesus way, the God way, if you really put him first, you will discover, and I'm going to show you if I get that far, that you will suffer even from members of your own house if you really walk the way. You will have to make decisions that prioritize the Lord Jesus and his will over and above sometimes what your wife wants, or your husband wants, or your children think you should do, or if you're a child and you come to years where the Lord is calling you and mum and dad wants you to go to this university and become this and that. But Jesus is saying to you in your heart, no, I'm going to give my life to his service. I'm going to be a missionary or something. Mum and dad might say to you, just like my father did, the only time in my life I ever heard my father swear. And he called me something that was not very nice, because I said to him, Jesus has called me, and I've got to leave industry and I've got to go to Bible college, to Bible seminary. And he swore at me, you can serve the Lord and hold your job down, you're successful, you're this, that and the other. And then he swore and called me a very ripe name. And my dad was an elder in a good church. The only time I ever heard him. And he became temporarily my enemy. And I had to go against his will. Because if you walk the Jesus way, Jesus takes priority. And sometimes there is conflict. It's a way to walk. It's a way to walk. It's a way. It's a pathway. And dear Paul, this Saul man in those days, he was in conflict with those who walked the way. And of course, one of the reasons why he said, I'm of all the chief of sinners, was because he'd instigated murder against Christians. Now, the first thing that we are to understand is something that's down here in Jeremiah about the way. You might say, why do I need to be taught the way? I mean, a mother here, can I say to your mothers, you understand that you have natural abilities in motherhood, but you must let Jesus teach you how to be a wise and godly mother. Not enough, just the natural thing. You fathers, you need Jesus to teach you the way to be a father. Your children are all different. You need wisdom from above and understanding. You must let Jesus. You say, but I've got natural abilities to be a father. Yes, you're quite right. But above and beyond all that, wonderful. What did Denzel Washington say? Put God first. Anyway, here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, There's a verse which I'll just comment on, and it's a very important one. In chapter 10, verse 2, you'll find that it says, "Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles." So he's talking to the people of God, and he says, "Do not learn the way of the Gentiles." Okay. Then you go to the end of the chapter, and Jeremiah is speaking to God in verse 23. And he says, and this is a very important verse that I've never heard anyone preach on, but it's a very important one that stuck with me. "Oh Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself." It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. What do you think about that? So as you look at your life, if you're going to come to the God view about yourself, you do not have in yourself, "I do not have in myself, the way of man is not in himself." That's humbling. You don't know. "Oh, but I do know." No, you don't know. Jeremiah was a prophet of God that had gone through all kinds of stuff and had observed the wreckage of people choosing their own way. I have too. One of the greatest sorrows for pastors and leaders is to know, I just think of a very dear friend of ours, and I got in her father was the leader of one of the biggest missionary societies in Africa. He was a British man. His daughter was in our church, and she wanted to marry a certain man in the church. And I said to her, "I would advise you against it." "Oh, but I think I love him. I think he's a good man." I said, "I see things in that man. You should not get involved with him. You should not get involved with him." But she insisted and she insisted and she insisted. And I said to her, she asked me to conduct the marriage. And I said, "No, I will not conduct the marriage. I will not conduct the marriage. Get someone else to conduct it or go to the civil ceremony, but I will not conduct the marriage." Her father came to see me, and he tore me to shreds because I would not conduct his daughter's wedding in the church. "What kind of pastor are you? What kind of leader are you?" And I said, "I see things in that man that in the end are undealt with, and he's not right, and he will ruin your daughter." "Don't be so silly. He's in the church. Don't be so silly." And they married. We actually had in the church we provided food for them later and expressed love to them. "We're not throwing you out." Of course not. That man gave that young woman 4 boys. None of them, all those boys are in their 20s. He gave her 4 boys and walked away with another woman about 6 years later. She's raising 4 boys on her own. She's absolutely crushed. Her father comes to me and says, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And we watch that lady struggle, 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 struggle. 2 of her boys are alcoholics and on drugs. Sometimes they come and live with her temporarily. She struggles. She's finding her way through with the Lord. And one of the greatest heartbreaks for a pastor or a leader. And I remember well, she came to me maybe 10 years later, and she said to me, "Why didn't ever you warn me?" And I said, "But I did. But I did. Don't you remember?" And such was her pain that she had forgotten that she had been warned. And then I said, "Don't you remember? Don't you remember the difficulty with Dad? Don't you remember how rude he was to me?" And it all started to come back to her. You see, sometimes memory can really be veiled and blinded by sadness. And that lady, thank God that that lady, who probably in a few weeks when we get back to the UK in the middle of October, probably she will drop by our house. And she's walking with the Lord and carrying the wounds. And one of the greatest pains for pastors and leaders is to see when someone chooses their own way. And all the unnecessary... You see, the way of a man is not in himself. We need a counselor. The chief counselor, of course, the wonderful counselor is Jesus. We need to go to him to let him lead us in the way. Sometimes, and you know, to follow the Jesus way is costly. The Jesus way is not worldly. The Jesus way is costly. But let's get this clear in our hearts. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his steps. So younger ones who are thinking about your university, your career, the thing that you want to go in, think about it humbly. Go to Jesus. Because he's the wonderful counselor. And in some way, he will gently but wisely direct your hearts into his way. Wonderful. The way that is just right for you. The way for which you are shaped. Because every precious life here in your soul, you have a particular shape and type. One of the great sadnesses is when men choose their own way and they choose this career or they choose this thing or they choose the other thing and they're just not shaped for it. And so they live their lives with shackles on. It's like the children of Israel. They were not shaped to live in Egypt building Pharaoh's treasure cities. They were shaped to live in the land of promise with God in worship and to become successful in a holy way, weren't they? It's tremendous when you think about it. And you're shaped. But your way is not in yourself. My way is not in myself. It is not in man to direct his own steps. And some of you, so I'm concentrating just a little bit on this word way, and immediately some of your minds are thinking about lovely verses. Because the idea of the way, you know, the book of Psalms, you know, chapter 1, the first psalm, the first song that's there, and it's all about two kinds of men. That means ladies too. Blessed is the man, this is how it begins, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat. You all picked up the walk, stand, sit, you know, because we all like that, walks, stand, sit. And his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. Amen. Planted by the rivers. I mean, I think of some of you students soon going back to university. Oh, the massive pressure to walk your own way. You know, your peers, fellow students, going their own way, messing up. Perhaps not messing up in the drug way and the this and that way and the alcohol way, but messing up in the lust sex way, or messing up in the grabbing money way. You know, because these are the ways of the world, aren't they? Maybe messing up like that, and there's you, coming from a church background, struggling to find your feet in the midst of this confusion. I tell you, Jesus wants to show you his way in the midst of it. I'm reading a book at the moment. Someone advised me to get this book. And it's a book written to encourage people to minister in universities and colleges in the United States. And it's giving five special ways of reaching people. It's very interesting how we live in a time where everybody wants to have sort of explanations of how to do it. Do you know, I'm fed up with reading the book. I'll read it and write a review on it, because I have to write reviews for books sometimes. And I'll say, but if you walk with Jesus, you'll be like this with your fellow students. You don't need to learn 5 points. Just walk the Jesus way and you'll be a friend to people in the student dorm. You will be patient with them. You will not engage in some of the filth. You will walk away. And you will gain their respect because they know you still love them. And this is all in this book and learning these 5 points, etc. But if you walk in the way of Jesus, you do that anyway. Hallelujah. Walk in the way of the Lord. And you notice at the end of this psalm, do you find the word way? The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now that's it. The way of the ungodly will perish. The Lord knows the way, two ways. And the whole, you go through the book of Psalms, 150 of them, and you'll find that Psalm 1 is the precy of every psalm. That every psalm is about the two ways. Every psalm is developing the two ways. You know, it's got a lot about the wicked, and you know, oh, may the way of the wicked perish. Amen. Amen. You walk the way of the righteous, you want to see the way of the wicked perish. And you want to see the way of the wicked perish in time now, because you want to see it dry up in the life of your fellow student. You want him to discover that the way of the wicked is wretched. Did you know that there is a verse in your Bible? Of course, and this is the book of Proverbs. It's all about two ways. My son, listen to my counsel. Walk not in the way of the prostitute. Walk not in the way of prostituting your life to that which is valueless. He's not just talking about sexuality, sexual sin. And there is a verse there in Proverbs that says, the way of the transgressor is, next word, hard. It's hard. It's a lonely way. You travel the way of transgression and sin. Oh, the man who engages in an illicit relationship. Oh, his way is hard. His children Some of them despise him for what he's done. He goes off with someone. The way of the wicked is hard. The man who gives his life to... But on surface it seems easy. It seems pleasant. He gets a yacht. He's made a lot of money. He gets his private plane and so on. But underneath it's hard. The way of the wicked is hard. Take my yoke on you, Jesus said. Do you remember what Jesus said about his yoke? It's light. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. The way of the Lord is easy. And I'll tell you something. When you get through those one or two big decisions that you have to make, where the real conflict is coming between following the way of Jesus and the way of the world, perhaps in your family life, perhaps in your work life. Sometimes it might involve so many men I know who have moved into a wonderfully easy life with less money. Because the business world was offering them great prospects. Take this position, you see. And in their heart they knew that they must not sell their soul out to the dollar. And they knew Jesus was saying, and it was a hard decision because their wife, he says, oh, but we can get a better house and we can all have the latest cell phones. And we can send our children to the best colleges. And if you take a down step, you know, and perhaps, but the husband knows he's got to walk the way of the Lord. It's a hard decision. It's only temporarily hard because you... And there's only two or three decisions in your lives and my life that are like that. There's only two or three biggies in your whole life. And if you walk the way of the Lord in those biggies, you will find that at the time it's quite hard, but as you get the other side, things become easy. Faith grows. Faith actually grows. Assurance actually... You see... There's a cost in walking the way. But I want you all to know, there are so many rewards in walking the way. So many rewards in this life. In this life. There's the reward of growing faith. There's the reward of increasing love. There's the reward of time to love others and care. It's a wonderful reward to actually find, I mean, this might sound a stupid thing, you know, but to actually, oh, the reward that Hazel and I knew years ago. We had two children. We lost our first one. And then we had two. And they lived, and we were raising them. And we never sat down at our table in our house with less than 25 people. We had lots of bedrooms. But oh, the reward of loving people, opening up to people. I'm thinking of a man, he came here with me in 1992, I think it was, from Australia. He wanted to travel with me, and I used to let him speak a bit at the beginning of the meetings. He must have done it in that windowless hut you had nearby. And do you know, he said to me, maybe 6 years... He was part of the church, very influential, serving and so on. And he said to me, and he got married to a delightful lady. I think they've had about 7 or 8 children. And he said to me, Bernard, I never saw a family until I lived with you and Hazel. And I said, Peter, I don't even remember you living with us. He said, oh yeah, I lived with you for 6 months. Don't you remember when I came? I came across from Sydney, he said, all the way to Perth, and I live with you. And I came with my long hair and my earrings and all this. And you never said a word. And I never saw a family and working. He came from a broken family. You see, he just... Oh, that's a reward, isn't it? He's a leader in a church in Australia. What a reward. There's a reward. You see, there's always reward now from paying the price and walking the way. Wonderful rewards. Oh, come on, tell me. Tell me about Jesus. Was it hard? Was Calvary hard? Did he bleed in Gethsemane when he was being crushed and seeing the horrors of it? Yes, it was hard. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and bore the shame. For the joy. What's part of the joy? There's two parts of the joy, at least for Jesus. And for you and me, there's the joy of the Father raising him up from the dead and setting him at his own right hand and filling heaven with his fatherly words saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The adulation of the Father for the obedient child. I know that's true. Well done, Bernard. You did what I wanted. Sometimes you didn't do it so well, but you ran the race. You walked away. That's part of the joy. That's part of the reward. For Jesus, the other part of the reward is what? You and me. A whole multitude without number of brothers and sisters, if you want to use the word, that's fine. But we're all brothers, really. We all inherit. We all inherit. You see, that's his reward. And you know, you get brothers. I've got brothers all over the world. Tom is one of my closest brothers. Closer to me than my two blood sisters, and they're both Christians. Yeah. You remember that Jesus on the way, you know, he was surrounded by a crowd of people. And it was so busy. There was all these people around. And then his mother and his brothers and sisters come knocking at the door. And they come and give him the message. They're seeking for you. They're seeking for you. They want your attention. And Jesus says, he waves his hand around. And he said, "Actually, these are my brothers and sisters. The ones that do my will. These are my brothers and sisters." What a reward. Jesus had them then. See, that's the thing. That's what happens. We must walk the way. We must follow him in the way. We must pay the price of walking the way. But there will be so many rewards from walking the way. And it's so practical. And again I say to you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that there will only be two or three biggies in the whole of your life. Where there's conflict, where you know that to walk in Jesus' way, you have to make a big decision. And it's going to upset some loved ones, perhaps. It's going to upset people who are trying to... I just think of a very dear young friend of mine in Sydney, Australia, a brilliant pianist. A brilliant pianist. And I'm sorry to have to tell you this story in one sense. He used to come to the meetings. He so loved the Lord. He was brilliant. Mum and Dad were both professional violinists. And they wanted him to go on the concert stage. This young man would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and practice the piano for 5 hours. Then he would go to schooling, homeschooling, for 2 or 3 hours in conventional subjects. And then he would take students and teach them. His whole life was full of piano, piano, piano. And he loved the Lord. Mum and Dad are pushing me. I've got a scholarship to Russia to become a concert pianist. And he said, I don't want to go. I love people. I don't want to entertain them. I want to teach in a school. I want to teach music. Mum and Dad won't let me. I remember one time we were in Sydney, and where we were staying had a grand piano. And he came to me and visited us, and he said to me, Bernard, would you teach me one or two jazz constructions and so on? Because he knew I'd been through a conservatorium a little bit for jazz. So I showed him a few things. Next year, I met him. He was so brilliant. I said, Matt, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he said, well, among other things, to make money, I'm accompanying singers in hotels, you know. And so I said to him, play something, will you? You know, these professionals, you know, make us amateurs look like a bunch of jerks. Anyway, there he was. And he walked with the Lord. And he found enmity from Mum and Dad. And I have to tell you something. He was a very sensitive boy. He comes up to 23, 24 years old. And I'm back in Sydney and I say to someone, where's Matt? Why is he not in the meetings? Oh, he came under such pressure from his mum and dad. It was terrible. He was so sensitive. He went up in a parking lot in a shopping mall and threw himself off. He killed himself. Parents, be careful. Walk in the way of the Lord. Dear Matt killed himself. I have in our house full manuscript music of new tunes for every song in the blue hymn book that some of you know about. He wrote new tunes, full manuscript, and CDs where he's playing them. Every tune. He wanted to walk in the way. It was a pleasure to know him. Really upset me when I heard what he'd done. And I can't enter into the deep feelings of his heart. I can't. But you see, it's so important to walk in the way. The way of Jesus. And you know, I'll close now because of time, but you all know the famous word about the way, don't you? We all know it. John 14:6. I am the way. That's what Jesus said. The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There are rewards on the way. To me, one of the greatest rewards of walking the way has been the presence of the Father. The bliss of knowing him in the quiet place. The comfort that he brings. The reality. Because I am the way. And Jesus says, I'll take you to the Father. I'll take you to the Father now. The Father will be the great... Some of you have never had a good Father. I'll take you to the real Father. I'll take you into his embrace. I'll let you know him. When you walked away, you see there are these rewards. Sometimes, only sometimes, you have to pay a price. 2 or 3 big ones, like I said. And on the way, sometimes more little ones. little decisions. But all the way, my Father leads me. What have I to fear beside? And I really encourage you. I encourage mums and dads here. You understand your family is very precious in the eyes of the Lord. And dads, leave to your children an example that you're following the Jesus way. That's the best thing you can give them. Mothers, take time. Walk the Jesus way. And leave an example to your children. They're seeing you walking the way. And that will be unforgettable to your children. They may wander from the way. They may wander further from the way, but they will remember, and perhaps later on in their lives, they will come back. And they'll know, the mum and dad showed me the Jesus way. And they'll come back. I want to walk the Jesus way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.